Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallum. There's a new and unique craze sweeping America and Europe. Paris, Berlin, San Francisco, and San Diego are four cities who have joined this new craze. That craze is called Dining in the Dark. Dining in the Dark is a unique experience where you eat a complete three-course meal while being immersed in full darkness and using your other senses of touch, taste, and sound. This unique experience is provided to dinner guests at restaurants. The restaurants hire specially trained blind and visually impaired individuals. Blind and visually impaired Dining in the Dark employees learn how to serve three-course meals in the dark for sighted dinner guests. Opaque Dining in the Dark is the chain of restaurants that brings the unique experience to some of America's major cities, including New York and Dallas. Alex Mandiro is the supervisor and host of the Opaque Dining in the Dark restaurant in San Francisco. Alex joins me to talk about the Dining in the Dark experience at his restaurant and how to possibly pursue a career in the food service industry. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you so much.
So, I want to first learn more about your current roles as the supervisor and host for the Opaque restaurant in San Francisco. What do you do in these roles?
So at our restaurant, I manage our staff, both front and back of the house, and I kind of supervise and go over everyone's roles to make sure that, you know, everything is orchestrated, you know, correctly and fine-tuned to kind of conduct a normal dinner, but have it be pitch black in our dining room. So all of the logistics and anything that comes along with the planning, scheduling, foreseeing reservations and large parties and kind of making sure every guest feels comfortable.
Let's talk about the Dining in the Dark concept, its beginning. I was watching a mini documentary done by Current TV, which is now known as Al Jazeera America. The Dining in the Dark concept began in Cologne, Germany, when the establishment called the Invisible Bar Restaurant opened. How did that restaurant introduce Dining in the Dark to the local guests?
From what I know, our company kind of branched off. It kind of became this craze that kind of swept Europe. And then one of our original owners, his name is Benjamin Uphues, he founded our restaurant and took it from Germany and opened up a location here in California first. I think the Dining in the Dark, like, phenomenon or, you know, this kind of craze that kind of happened as far as restaurants and people wanting to have, you know, a unique experience stemmed from, a need for a unique experience and, a sense of mediation between blind and sighted people. And for whatever reasons or however specifically the concept started, I don't think anyone can really put their finger on it. I think, you know, for all we know, it could have been happening for hundreds of years, but just in homes. I guess things kind of, you know, commerce kind of took over and said, okay, well, this is a business. And that's how I think, you know, our restaurant and its concept has reached its customers.
Why did Ben decide to bring the Dining in the Dark experience to the U.S.? I mean, how did he do it?
He was a very straightforward and very driven man. And I think he saw what impact it brought to Germany. And I believe from what I know, he grew up in Germany. And the impact that he saw on the restaurant and, you know, everything that he started in Germany, he had a dream to bring it to the United States. And I think, you know, that's kind of like the goal of, like, the American dream is to say, hey, I have a really great idea. I'm going to capitalize on it and build it from the ground up. With his experience that he kind of gained through starting off, you know, in Europe and then bringing it here, I think the American market welcomed him because it's one of a kind. The types of, you know, the types of experiences and, you know, the kind of dinners that people have are, you know, once in a lifetime, or at least I would like to think so, just because you never get to create that type of environment anywhere else. It's only unique to our restaurant, and it changes based on its location and all of the details that come with planning it.
So that same mini doc mentioned that the first opaque restaurant opened at the Hyatt Hotel at the Sunset Strip in Hollywood. How did that restaurant become popular with dinner guests, lead to the chain's success, and allow the company to open additional locations across the country? And is that restaurant still there, that specific Hollywood location?
So that location was like a soft opening. For any restaurant, there's a trial and incubation period that kind of allows you to see your market, decide whether or not, you know, you'll survive and be successful. That specific event was a soft opening for the concept and, you know, founding of the restaurant. When we eventually reached the hard opening, we, you know, actually signed a deal with the location and made it permanent. But that location is not open. That was just to kind of put our feet in the water as far as the market. And, you know, from that experience, I think it created a really big buzz, because it was kind of like this exclusive, you know, event that was happening where this is like a, you know, we didn't have a permanent location, so we couldn't guarantee whether or not people were going to see Dining in the Dark again and understand it again. So, you know, creating an impact for that soft opening was essential and crucial to the founding of our restaurant. Without the impact that created a buzz in social media, TV, radio, and just touching all of the guests that came and dined with us on the night that we did the soft opening in Hollywood, it really made an impact on how we would be recognized and known.
Now, before we get into the experience, let's talk about the food that served at Opaque's restaurant. I was looking at Opaque's website. That's www.darkdining.com. Opaque offers 3 course dinner choices of exquisite appetizers, entrees, and yes, the desserts. 2 tasty appetizers are a baby green salad and an ahi tuna tartare. 3 delicious entrees on the menu are cavatappi pasta with roasted peppers, grilled beef tenderloin with mashed potatoes, and the pan-roasted chicken with roasted spaghetti squash. One of the decadent desserts is bittersweet chocolate cake with the minted strawberries and vanilla bean ice cream. Tell me more about these food choices, these fine ones, and how Opaque's blinded visually impaired chefs make each dish.
So all of our, basically, we have 2 locations now, 1 in Santa Monica and 1 in San Francisco. Both restaurants' menus vary. The menu that you viewed on darkdining.com is actually not updated. Our menu is updated on opentable.com. Opentable is where, you know, you can view and make reservations for our restaurant. So the basic template of our entrees that we serve and our entire menu is the same, like grilled protein sides, but, you know, grilled steak and then some form of mashed potato or potato. All of our sides and dishes kind of change, like, seasonally, like the sides, the way that they're prepared, and, you know, using seasonal vegetables whenever possible. So things kind of change from time to time, but for the most part, the menu is straightforward. The dishes are not very crazy, but they are meant to kind of just be simple and familiar. I think when you have overly complex flavors and, you know, very intricately prepared dishes, I think things kind of get lost. I think your palate kind of needs to find something familiar when you're in the dark, just because you want that sense of comfort of knowing, okay, that's a grilled steak with mashed potatoes, with gravy. You know, that I think allows us to focus on the quality because the dishes are simple and very good. And all of our chefs are different for both locations. You know, we work with different chefs, but for the most part, the San Francisco location has worked with two different chefs over the years. And, you know, we all look over it, taste the food, go over it with our staff and our, you know, all of it with our staff and with our hosts to kind of make sure that everyone understands and knows the complexities.
I was watching an episode of The Ellen Show. That's Ellen DeGeneres' daytime talk show. It featured Jeannie, the television program's receptionist, and Amy, the show's writer. Both the two ladies dined together at an opaque restaurant. Before they went into the restaurant, both Jeannie and Amy, they were afraid of the dark. The Ellen Show's two employees, they walked into that restaurant. They sat down in their seats, felt for the napkins and silverware in complete, just pitch black, and enjoyed their meal. During the dining in the dark experience, Jeannie stayed as just cool of a cucumber as she could, and Amy whined. She just whined for the entire visit. For example, Jeannie serves Amy very strong vodka, corn on the cob, and a cup of just simple cocoa butter to taste. Amy didn't like any of these foods. To top off that experience, Jeannie continued to just torture Amy, poor Amy, by taking her picture with the camera's flash turned on. I'm guessing that most of this, of course, was to entertain the TV audience. And typical guests at the opaque restaurant, they have a more deep experience than this. What are the true and typical experiences that your guests have at opaque San Francisco restaurant in just dining in total darkness? I'm sure that's more pleasant.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like to think of the restaurant as a very obviously dark but intimate place. I usually advise people to bring someone who they're really close with and someone who you can really delve deep into a conversation with, because being in the dark really forces you people to come together, and it really forces you to let go of the visual, like social cues that come with dining at a normal restaurant, and you know, the only, you know, all of your other senses are definitely heightened, and you know, you're forced to kind of focus on the content of your conversation, of the food, of, you know, your interaction with your server and with the other guests in the restaurant. For the most part, what I've experienced and in general have seen is that, you know, the restaurant and the dark can be anything that you want it to be. Whatever you're feeling, if you're feeling happy, if you want to celebrate, if you're having an intimate day or celebrating an anniversary, you know, whatever you want to feel becomes amplified in the dark. And for the most part, people, you know, some people can be a little overwhelmed at first, because for the most part, it's probably one of the darkest rooms people will ever see in their life. So when they go inside, sometimes there's a little bit of apprehension, but I think once you get in and once you get led by your server and you get seated, you feel comfortable with the people that you're with, then you kind of relax. And so I like to promote and think that the restaurant is a very calm and kind of meditative place. But I mean, sometimes it can be, you know, it can be very like busy and crazy, like a normal restaurant, and kind of loud. So you definitely, things change. It changes every day based on, you know, every night that I go into the restaurant, there's never the same conversation going on, and there's always a different energy and a different feel in the dark. And I think, you know, based on, I guess, the weather and how things are just going, I think that's what determines, you know, the social climate, you know, in the dining room. But for the most part, I feel that people really understand and value that they are getting a unique experience. And the type of emotions and feelings that come up when you go into the dark, I think that you can't really replicate. It's really, really hard to kind of, you know, if you close your eyes, you can't get it that dark. You can't bring yourself back to a moment. So, you know, in the moment where you're in the dark and you feel comfortable and you settle in, I think that you can't, it's even hard to describe. I think for everyone, you pull from the experience what you want, and everyone picks out something different that they feel is unique to them.
I understand that some of the proceeds from Dining in the Dark, especially for certain events that you guys have held, go to charity. Can you tell us how our listeners might research these charities and contributions from Opaque's proceeds and even get involved in some of these events?
Every annually we work with an organization called FFB, or the Foundation Fighting Blindness. They're one of the largest organizations in the world that donates to, that actually funds and takes proceeds and helps it go towards finding cures for different types of blindnesses. And they're a giant in the corporate world. They're really amazing in what they do and how they impact the people who benefit, you know, from the types of charity work that they do. And every year we travel over the United States, or all over the United States, and help them by taking, you know, their charity events, taking, you know, large hotel ballrooms and turning it into a mini Dining in the Dark experience, where the guests dine for 30 minutes and have entrees in with the room that they were already in, and we black it out and have them enjoy their entrees in the dark. For these special events, we go all over. We actively seek out blind servers locally through you know, different blind organizations, and we train them the day of and get them to kind of understand the architecture of the room and teach them how to serve people, you know, for the first time. So those experiences for me have been very positive, because you see how much of an impact having real blind people in the real world come together, you know, with people who are willing to donate to finding cures for their types of blindness. So, you know, that kind of bringing together those worlds is, you know, a really important and fundamental backbone of our restaurant. It definitely supports, you know, a positive cause, and, you know, we value our relationship with that company. As far as, like, our restaurant goes, we do various random other charity events that are smaller, at a much more smaller scale, in the restaurant, and, you know, we donate every year, so, to different organizations other than FFB. So it definitely, giving back to a positive cause when it's so close to us in our restaurant is really important. Just because, you know, we're unique in the fact that we employ disabled people and allow them to shine. And, you know, because of that fact, I think it's even more important to give back to a greater cause that has to do with what we do.
Let's talk about the typical training and the tasks for the blind and visually impaired Opaque restaurant workers. You had talked about these very briefly when you supervised the workers at the Opaque restaurant in San Francisco. But I was looking at the current TV mini doc, and Michael Headley, who was the server at that test-run Opaque restaurant in L.A., mentioned that he guides the sighted guests to their table. Michael had the guests hold each other's shoulders in a line, and they walked together to the designated table. How do Opaque servers like Michael learn to escort these guests safely in a line to the correct table?
So for, you know, for most blind people, I can't vouch for all of them in the world, but, you know, especially in my community in the Bay Area, there are so many different resources for blind people and special specific schools and programs that allow them to have real world training, to be able to cope with their disability, you know, walk out of their house every day, take the bus, you know, walk across streets, and, you know, all of their lives are kind of prepared mentally to face this world, face a sighted world. And so, the training and, you know, how we find our servers and how we get them to acclimate to our space is kind of like getting them used to living in their own house. They have to determine, you know, they have to determine where everything is, where their tables are, how the tables are usually set up. You know, as far as like guiding the guests, they definitely have to have a caring, a very caring and open sense of being able to listen and very effectively communicate, you know, where they're going, what the guest is about to do, and kind of be two or three steps ahead of the guest.
Let's talk more about the restaurant business. In fact, I want to talk more broadly about the food service industry, because I'm sure some of our listeners, after hearing about Dining in the Dark now, may want to work there, or they may want to work at another restaurant, or just get into any career in the food service industry, whether it's managing a restaurant, whether it's working for the USDA, or they work for Sysco and help bring the food to the restaurants, or even even if they wait tables. According to the United States Department of Agriculture Economic Research Service, or the USDAERS, food service facilities, they of course include restaurants, and they include the cafeterias at, say, business establishments or schools or colleges that serve the meals and snacks on site, either free or you have to pay for them, but for the most part, pay for them. If any of our listeners are interested in pursuing a career in the food service industry, whether it's becoming that dream waiter, that executive chef, or restaurant, or cafeteria owner, what education and or experience do they need?
Well, you know, for me, I started off as a host. I started off understanding, and, you know, I think everyone starts off just dining at restaurants, first and foremost. I think it's really important to put yourself out there and to try new experiences and, you know, dining at restaurants and stuff, observing what happens in order to make that happen, you know, is a definite starting place. For me, I started as a host, and I worked my way up, you know, as a server in normal-sided restaurants, and then, you know, from there, you know, started to manage over the years. If you really want to pursue a career in the food industry in general, I think you have to have, a passion and a drive for food and, you know, the idea and entire process that includes making a meal happen and being able to serve and kind of, you know, look at everything as a whole from, you know, from a perspective of, you know, what it feels like to be a diner and then what it feels like to work to serve diners. You really have to have a heart and a passion for a food. And that, you know, that love, I think, is what has fueled me and propelled me forward into different positions and allowed me to, you know, kind of get to this point in my life where I'm in, you know, such an amazing place and I work with such amazing people. I think you kind of have to go through the trial and error and you have to kind of see what environments work for you and which ones don't. I've worked at restaurants which are really formal fine dining, and then I've worked in restaurants that are, you know, very casual and very open, and for the most part, I like a little bit of in-between. But seeing where you place yourself as far as the world of food, you know, if you have a passion to cook, I think, you know, there's just baby steps that you take. Go to school, take a few classes, get a cookbook, watch a TV show, and then learn how to cook something. You know, as far as like a server goes, you kind of have to put your foot in the door and be very outgoing, very assertive about, you know, be very assertive and adamant about wanting to become a part of, you know, a restaurant in that aspect. And, you know, really put your heart out there. And I think the dining industry is such. People are always going to need food. People are always going to want a nice person, you know, around them to either serve or cook or, you know, be a part of a team. And so for me, creating a team and being able to work with them and see them shine in all of their different positions, I think is really important. And for, you know, for anyone who wants to work in the food industry, all it starts with is a mental kind of putting out that mental energy that's what you want. And then, you know, going about your life, making sure that you make changes to get to that point.
Where are the requirements for positions in opaque restaurants in case if any of our listeners want to apply?
As far as like our wait staff goes, it takes a certain kind of charisma. I've been lucky enough to find servers from various blind schools. There's a local blind organization down the street, and we find people through there. We also find servers through our charity events that we do all over the United States. When we have local ones, we kind of seek out people who shine with that one day training. If I see that they have the personality to be able to really touch someone and be able to go through all of the minute tasks in their head and kind of look at everything as a whole, multitask, and kind of develop a sense of urgency for the most important things in order. That's how I find people. And for me, that's what I look for, are people who have integrity and obviously an education that's allowed them to, have basic necessary functions that would, that the job would need. And then on top of that, there's that something special. And I think that is what, our restaurant needs, is, more perspective on what it feels like to be a blind person, how to connect with someone who's never met a blind person before, and help them understand what it's like to work in the dark.
How do our listeners learn more about Opaque's Restaurants? What are the other locations of Opaque Restaurants, and how can our listeners make reservations?
So all of our guests can make reservations on opentable.com. We also have Yelp, which is, a local, United States kind of based review system. You can also find us on Yelp.com. We have a homepage on Yelp. If you just Google Opaque Yelp, you'll find us. If you Google Opaque Open Table, you'll find us there as well. And as far as, like, all of our locations, right now our two main locations are in San Francisco and in Santa Monica. Then we have temporary locations that we use as pop-ups for private charity events and Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, all over the United States. Those locations are only used from time to time, and when we have a special event, we post it on our website, www.darkdining.com. You can find us on darkdining.com for special events all over the United States, with the exception of San Francisco and Santa Monica, which are our permanent home locations.
Alex, Opaque Dining in the Dark may be just the restaurant for those who want to try a truly new and unique dining experience. And perhaps some of our listeners may want to work in the food service industry, and even your restaurant. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Before we go, let me give listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode, or past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speaking Out Blind, or log on to the new Speaking Out for the Blind show website at home.comcast.net/McCallen3. That's McCallen, the number 3. You may also email me at McCallen3@comcast.net. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out. ACB Radio.